So it was like, yeah. So I had this real serious introduction going, and now it's like, okay. All right, so here we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11 is what we're going to cover tonight. Then we're talking about the greatest gift is the gospel. So to summarize a few things we were just discussing, when you... oftentimes when we get saved, right, we take, it's like when we were talking in a pastor's meeting, sometimes when you get saved, it's so exciting, there's that zeal, and then you lose some of that zeal over time, and some of the newness wears off, and no matter how long we've been saved, we often, you know, can kind of lose the joy of our salvation. It's a battle to stay joyful. And so hopefully 1 Corinthians 15 will help, you know, kind of invigorate us. So after all the correction that Paul has given the Corinthians, right, he's talked about gifts, but then he says at the end of chapter 14 and verse 40, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. So in spite of having gifts, they really weren't appreciated because they didn't do them in order. They didn't really have the gifts in order, right? They didn't have things in order, so they really weren't fully appreciating all the things that God had given them because they weren't in order. So you can have all this stuff, but if you don't know how to put it together, it's not as enjoyable, you know, as it should be. God wanted them to enjoy it. So I think that this text in 1 Corinthians 15, really what it does is give us an insight and really some motivation, right? So up to this point, it's really a lot of discussion about a lot of things that are not in order. But you know what? Praise the Lord someday. Hallelujah. After the resurrection, it all comes together. And it will come together. And it will be beautiful. It will be glorious. And so then it gives us something to look forward to. Like, I need to clean out my garage. It's not in order, right? But it's just like hard. Oh. But you know what? Someday, my garage is going to be in order. So, I look forward to that. But no, we had to put some work in. So I'm just, that's a bad analogy. But anyway, so let's talk about the priority of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the priority or the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the proof of the gospel of Jesus Christ. First is the priority. But before we get into that, let's look at the text, verse 11. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. I think most of us have this part memorized, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, said Popeye, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the grace of God that works in us, and that causes us to go to work. Lord, we're so thankful for the love of Christ. We're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the Church of God. We're thankful for the hope of the gospel, not only our salvation and the temporal results that we receive, but the eternal promises that we can believe. And Lord, by faith, we look forward to what the Bible says about eternity future. And Lord, I pray, God, that would motivate us, that would move us, and Lord, it would cause us to continue to put things in order, Lord, not only our lives, but help others with their life, put them in order through the gospel, Lord, because you want each and every soul that you've died to save in its place in eternity. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that we would be, Lord, your spokesman, like Paul says, Lord, that we would, because of our belief, others would believe. And because of who you are, Lord, others would depend upon you and trust you for their sacrifice for sin, also for the hope of eternal glory. We thank you and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word. Amen. All right, so praise the Lord. So the first priority of the gospel of Jesus Christ is point one. The greatest gift of the gospel is the priority of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So number A there, if you have your handout, the first word there is priority. Second word, point A, is we have no gifts, right, plural, without the gospel. So Paul says, moreover, right? So moreover means Well, that's even above everything else we've talked about. Above charity, above the ability to prophesy, above the ability to receive knowledge, the ability to display sign gifts, is the gift of God. And the good news is that God gave the Lord Jesus Christ as our sacrifice for sin, and we are free from sin through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord for that. So moreover, brethren, so what profit are our gifts, rather supernatural or natural, if we don't acknowledge the gospel, the good news of our salvation, right? So even all of that is not important if you don't have the gift of eternal life. So is the gospel the priority in our life? Have we been deceived into a religion without a personal relationship with Christ? It's possible not just in a Catholic church, it's possible in a Baptist church. So the good news is not that we are sinners, not that Jesus died, not that Jesus was buried, but that he is alive, right? So now we can have a personal relationship with him. Now, obviously, there is importance to his life, his incarnation, his death, his sinless and incredibly miraculous birth, his sinless life, his perfect sacrifice for sin. So I don't want you to minimize that. But if he doesn't rise from the dead, then we're in trouble, because there's no victory over sin and death. And so, and we don't have a relationship with the living Lord Jesus Christ. So we do. He isn't dead. He is alive, and we can't have a personal relationship. So we praise God for that. So that's point A. We have no gifts, right? All the other stuff that we've talked about isn't really important if Jesus isn't alive, right? So moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. So the gospel cannot lose its impact. So he says, brethren, brethren, people that are brethren are in the family. So the Apostle Paul is not presenting the gospel to lost people in this passage. He's actually reminding brethren of the very first gift they received. Right? Notice that. So moreover, brethren, have you forgotten your salvation, right? Maybe we think that we've grown to maturity, maybe too mature. Maybe we think we're too mature for a simple gospel. But Paul says, no, no. No matter how smart you think you are, no matter how many gifts you think you bestowed are bestowed upon you, you're not too smart for the gospel. You're not too mature for the gospel. So we got to think that again, right? There is no depth of scripture that we can get into that will ever eclipse the gospel. So no matter how deep we go, no matter how many mysteries we understand, it all really depends upon the gospel, right? If we're not saved, if we don't have eternal life, what difference does that make, right? So the gospel is powerful. Now we do got to leave the milk and we got to go on, but the gospel, it's like the ocean. I think I've heard somebody say it, probably Steve Fleshman. It's like the ocean, right? You walk up, it's shallow enough for your toes, but it's deep enough you can drown in it and go on endlessly. It goes past the horizon. So is the gospel. So he says, I declare unto you the gospel. The word of gospel means good news. Everyone needs to hear some good news. I think we need some good news, right? Think about the world we live in. Don't they need some good news? Absolutely. They need to know that the church is alive, that Jesus Christ is alive, that the Bible's alive, and they can be alive. Wow. Praise the Lord. So point C, the gospel is worth repeating, right? So he says, hey, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. It's worth repeating, right? I've already told you this once. I preached it, past tense, unto you. He's not just saying I preach unto you. I preached it unto you. He's declaring the same gospel he's already preached. Now, if you're tired of hearing how your soul has been saved from eternal hellfire, then I think you need to get on your knees and repent. I mean, really. I mean, we do need to go beyond, obviously, the milk and move to the meat. We got to build people up, and that's what this church is all about. But we should never grow past the good news, right? And get over our salvation. I don't know how that happens. How does that happen? So, in an age gone by, and I don't remember the date of this, but all you guys know this song. Since we didn't really sing, here's a song for us tonight, Ron. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory and Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in 1 Corinthians 15 glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. I'd love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I'd love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I'd love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I'd love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat. That seems each time I tell it more wonderful, wonderfully sweet. I can't even read it, let alone sing it. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. And you know the refrain. And then lastly, it says, I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, really. I mean, those are simple words. Those are easy to, you know, unless I butcher them. But those are easy to understand, and it's so true. I love to tell the story. Just a simple hymn written from a Philadelphian heart. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. So Paul is saying, you know what, guys? I got to preach this unto you again. I know you've heard it. I know you've received it. So let's talk about it some more. But he does start to plumb the depths. What happened when you received the old story? Oh, well, let me tell you about the resurrection. Oh, you thought, yeah, it's not just going to better your life today, Joel Osteen. It's going to go on for eternity, right? And so how many people have heard my testimony this week? I don't know. I was just sharing with Steve my testimony. Not the testimony of my salvation, but stuff that he's seen happen that he didn't know happened as he was right here under me as a pastor. Talking about some personal things as we've been living here in Harrisonville the last 17 years. So he's learning more about my story. But my story is anchored to the gospel. It all starts with the gospel. And so, you all have a story, right? And you know, that is one of the best witnessing tools. Two things that really help the gospel go forward is love. Love people sincerely, genuinely love them, and then tell your story. And if you don't have a story, you need to look and say, why don't I have a story? Well, I grew up in church. That's a great story. I got saved when I was 5. That's a wonderful story. And I didn't go out in the world. That's a great story. I hope we have a whole generation of kids coming up in our church. They have a story that, you know what, God protected me from hell, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I got saved young, and I grew up, and I followed the Lord. I just today in the ordination service, we ordained a young man who is completely blameless. I mean, obviously, he's a man, but he grew up in a Christian home underneath the pew, he said. And here he is with his 3 little kiddos, and good young man, sharp young man, submissive young man, humble young man. I'm like, that's what the church needs to be producing. Not some gnarly story. Yeah, he had a little time when he went in the world, and a Christian rock band was his worldliness was Christian rock band. So praise the Lord, he never really went off of the deep end, so to speak. And God brought him back, and he put all that on the shelf, and he's followed the Lord ever since. And man, wouldn't that be great if that's a testimony people have to tell? Of, you know what, I've been fairly obedient since I got saved as a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 20-year-old, whatever. And follow the Lord the whole time. And so, you know, it's awesome to have these change of life stories too. You know, God pulled me out of the gutter, so I'm not minimizing that. But I do know Christian kids oftentimes, they feel like, hey, man, I don't have a testimony because I didn't go out and shoot up or something. Well, God forbid. We should also celebrate the stories of obedience and the stories of kids that come up in Christian homes and grow up to be pastors and grow up to be... Amen. Yeah. And amen. Good point. And these young kids that come up and get married and take care of their house and work a 9-to-5 job and never get arrested or never get drunk. Praise God. That's a great testimony. We need to be glorifying that as well as the other testimonies because it's all God's power. So anyway, that is not in my notes. So sorry about that. I got on a tangent. So point D, the gospel must be received. The gospel must be received. And so, and I told the guys before you guys came in, I'm not going to get very far tonight, so we're almost done. The gospel must be received. So which also you have received, so what does that mean? Your transaction should have a receipt. Right? You got a receipt on the transaction. And that, of course, what's our receipt?
Holy Ghost.
That's right, Holy Ghost. That's our earnest money right there. We got a receipt. The good news is only good if you receive it, right? So when does the good news become bad news? When do you reject it? Ichabod, blasphemy, right? Man, when you reject the conviction and the power of the gospel, that's bad news. But it's good news when you receive it. Have you taken the news personally? So we I know in this room you have. We got to own up to our part in placing Christ on the cross. And man, I tell you, it's not easy for everyone to do that. I think if we went around this room, we'd all say, "Yep, you know, the nails were in my hands, the hammer was in my hands. I'm just as guilty as those rascals that nailed him to the tree." And we are. But some people don't believe that. They really think they are, well, they're self-righteous. And whether they say it or not, they didn't put Jesus on the tree. Well, no, you did. Whether you know it or not, you did. And so your grandma can't save you. You wasn't born into Christ. You were born into your grandma's family. And your grandma, without Christ, is a lost sinner. And so are you. So you need to get saved. Your family's church or preacher can't save you, right? Oh, man, I've been in church my whole life. And Pastor so-and-so, he's baptized all my relatives and... Okay, that's nice. I'm glad. I'm thankful for that. That's a great pastor. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean you're saved. Right? You have to be personal. It has to be with Jesus. You have to come to Christ. Well, wait a minute. I've done a lot of good works, Brian. You need to understand. I'm a good worker. I've worked hard. I built that church building. And God's going to accept me. No, He's not. Not if that's what you're trusting. I'm glad you helped build the building. Praise the Lord. But that is not what saves us, is it? It's not good works or good intentions that can save us. And you guys know that's true. So we've got to make sure that we understand. Who are we to think that we're too good? That we're okay? Too good to receive the gift that God offers for our salvation? And we're not. None of us are too good. We have to receive that gift because only He's good. And so we often view the gospel as a distant act of history. And the events of the cross and the open tomb 2,000 years ago are more relevant today than tomorrow's newspaper. It's not just a distant act of history, though it is an action that happened in history. But the events of the cross and the open tomb 2,000 years ago are more relevant than tomorrow's newspaper. What we do, especially us here, this great assembly that's gathered, what we do tomorrow with what we know about the Word of God and the gospel itself, is more relevant than whatever trade agreement we're making, whatever's going on with China, whatever God's doing. Yeah, He's moving to... Now, I will say all that's going to focus on Israel, but even that's important, that we get the gospel out before the catching away of the church, before the wrath of God is poured out on this world. What we're doing with the gospel is huge. And not making fun of Donald Trump the way he says huge, right? I'm serious. It is huge. It is enormous, just the gospel and what we do with it. Because it is an eternal transaction. And it eclipses even what's going to happen in history that's about to happen. It's important. Okay, moving on. So we need to receive the gift in our thought, right? We have to really believe, okay, yeah, I'm willing to receive the message intellectually. That's a part of it. Sometimes we minimize that, but it's important to receive it intellectually, because if you don't do that, you can just have an emotional feeling and never know if it was heartburn or if it was salvation. You got to know intellectually, but you also got to receive it in your heart, right? There has to be a compunction, a conviction, and a reception of understanding that, man, this was a pricey gift. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful. And then you know what? It'll change our life. It is a change of thought, yes, it's a change of heart too, and then it changes our life. So we receive Him into our life. It should make a lifestyle change. So I'm going to stop right there for time's sake, because we're about out of time. Next time we get together, we'll talk about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we've talked about the priority. It is a priority. Paul starts off first. I'm going to blow up this discussion, but before I do, let me just start right here with the gospel, the simple yet powerful gospel. When you take of all of who God is and condense Him down to His incarnation, and then that incarnation grows into the perfect man, and that perfect man gives His life on the cross, I mean, how long could we talk about that? I think for the rest of eternity we'll be admiring the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, but also we'll see it from a different perspective, because we'll see the results of his work on the cross and what it produces in the bride of Christ. It's beautiful, it's glorious, and that is yet to come in the chapter as we go forward. And so we got something to look forward to. It's a mighty, mighty gift that we've got. Now, I do have about 20 or 30 more handouts, so if you guys could bring some more people next week, that would be tremendous. And I accidentally ran too many copies here, so you can see that's all the copies I had. We were having quite a laugh about that when I came in earlier. All right, so let's go ahead and I'm going to, just for the record, shut this off, but let's pray it up real quick and I'll shut it off. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to visit and meet. Pray for those that are listening online as well. Pray, God, a blessing on the reading, the hearing, and the learning of the Word of God. We thank you for the gospel. It's rich and it's so simple, yet it's profound and powerful. And it is the priority, Lord, over all the gifts, over everything else. Moreover, Lord, you have declared unto us the gospel. And Lord, we stand in that gospel. And Lord, we will stand redeemed and completely changed, transformed as light beings, as we see coming up in this text here, in the short future ahead, and in the not too distant future. Lord, we'll see that glory that is going to be manifest because of the down payment, because of the earnest of the Spirit of God that seals our soul until the day of redemption. We thank you for this time to visit. We pray a blessing now on the prayer meeting that we'll have in private. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I